need to call upon the Lord. But specifically, I remember that morning that it was very difficult. And this song came on, living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. You want me to sing it? That's all right. I'll just hope. From all harm safe in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm. The verse says, I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth, King James, over everything, and all of my worries are vain. I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Another verse goes on and says, though tempests may blow and storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? You know what it means for Him to be beside you? Our Lord shall return for His loved ones someday. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. You know, I was talking about the coming of the Lord, and He is going to come, whether it's through the second coming, rapture, or at our pillow. He is going to come, and we're going to go and be with Him. Our question this morning is, are we preparing for that day? Are we preparing for that day that's inevitable for all of us? And age just comes. It just keeps coming, doesn't it? And we are going to be able to bless the Lord and be there with Him at that day if we are ready. I want to talk to you about faith and about hope this morning. You know, you can't mix oil and water together. You can mix tea and water together, or coffee and water together, but you can't mix oil and water together. They don't mix. Well, faith and fear do not mix. If we're going to have faith, then we've got to get rid of that spirit of fear. Fear has torment. Hope and doubt do not mix. And there's always that doubt that comes along to make us say, does it really mean that? Can I really depend on that? Yes, you can. You can trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, you can acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. There's a book that I got this out of. It's called Challenging the Impossible. My wife knows the author really well. And here's a paragraph. It says, you might ask, what is the difference between faith and hope? Faith is based on what God has done. Thank you, Lord, for what You've done. And hope is based on what God will do. Thank You, Lord, because we can depend upon You and what You will do. The word hope is not in the sense of just, I hope it happens, an optimistic outlook or wishful thinking without any foundation. But it is the sense of confident expectation based on solid certainty. We can depend upon God's Word. Solid certainty. Biblical hope rests on God's promises, particularly those pertaining to Christ's return. So certain is the future of the redeemed that the New Testament sometimes speaks of future events as in the past tense, as though they were already accomplished. Hope is never inferior to faith, but an extension of faith. Faith is the present possession of grace. Hope is confidence in God's future accomplishment. I got this also from Brother Eduardo Gonzalez from Cuba, and he just added a little bit to his thoughts on faith. He said, I see a militant faith taking the place instead of resting, trustful, confident faith in the grace and wisdom of God. That's worth repeating. I see a militant faith to take the place instead of resting, trustful, confident faith in the grace and wisdom of God. It finally has to be, amen. So be it. Israel does not have a word for faith, I understand, because they will use the word trust. And that's very difficult because so many times they have trusted and that trust has been broken by betrayal. So it's very difficult. But the word trust is 134 times in the Bible. The word faith is 247 times. And it means basically the same thing, whether it's faith or trust. It means to have hope, to make refuge, to put confidence in, to trust, to be confident or sure. The New Testament Greek is trust, is faith, hope, to yield. And so we come to what we call the faith chapter. I'm sure you guessed that I was headed there already, to Hebrews 11. We call it the faith chapter. He starts out, now faith. And faith is not something that was just there for the Hebrew writer. It's something that has endured every century, every decade, every year, every month, every hour since then, that we have had a now faith that we can continue to have. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained a good report. Some country preacher said it just means believing what ain't. Well, you can't see it yet, but you know that it's there because of the promises of God's word. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was framed by the word of God, so that things that are seen are not made out of the things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain offered. Through this, he was approved as righteous, with God testifying concerning his gifts. He still speaks through his faith, though he is dead. The faith continues. By faith, Enoch was taken to heaven, so he would not see death. That'd be nice. That's a rapture. He was not found because God took him away. For before he was taken, he had this commendation, that he pleased God. Do you have a desire to please the Lord? You know, if you have the fear of God in your life, if you have a desire to please the Lord, then your actions will follow. Did you know that some people change their doctrine to fit their behavior, instead of changing their behavior to fit God's word? And so we recognize that we need to please Him, to please the Lord. That should be our great desire. How can we lift up our hands in worship if they're not clean hands? How can we do it if there's not a pure heart that is there? It's really not the same. It'd be like a husband telling his wife he loves her, but he's committing adultery at the same time. You see, we have to please the Lord. He has a desire for us. He who comes to God must believe that He is, that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How many this morning can say, I've been rewarded by living for Jesus? How many can say that it's the best life I ever had? That I do not regret giving my life to the Lord? I do not regret pouring it out for Him, because it has been worth it, and He has rewarded me. Those that diligently seek Him, He is a rewarder. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned about things not yet seen, he moved with godly fear and prepared an ark to save his family, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Can you imagine when it had never rained, a guy building a boat on dry land, and all the attacks that he got and the mockery that he got? But when they were floating around for a minute before they drowned, they were believers, and they saw that. And there's coming a day that I hope it's not too late for some, when they'll recognize that it was too late and I should have accepted the Lord. I should have followed Jesus. I should, because there's either a reward or there's a consequence. And he says there's a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah obeyed the Lord. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place which he would later receive as an inheritance. he went out not knowing where he was going. You see, that's part of the dynamic of faith, is that you accept it as right before your mind says it is. And he did not know where he was going, but he knew that God had spoken. He knew that he would be there. By faith, he dwelt in the promised land as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. Why? For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was seeing heaven as he obeyed the Lord. He was seeing that heavenly city, not just Jerusalem, Israel, but heavenly Jerusalem, that is a city that has its foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Keith Green wrote the song. He said he's been building this place for 2,000 years, and he didn't know he was getting ready to go that quick, but he said if it's that way and he's been working with that long, this world is a garbage dump. And why would we want to cling to this world when there is an opportunity for us to look ahead to that heavenly city that he has? By faith, Sarah herself also received the ability to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man who was as good as dead sprang so many, a multitude as the stars of the sky, innumerable as the sand by the seashore. Faith prompted Abraham to continue even when the difficulties were there. He could not see all the way through, but he was able to accept and walk with the Lord. What did they say? That you obey now and understand later? So he obeyed. He obeyed. Let's go back into Genesis, where that account was first there, in Genesis 22, verses 1 through 18. After these things, God tested Abraham and said, "Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." Then he said something very difficult. "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering, as one of the mountains which I will tell you." So Abraham rose up early in the morning. That's instant obedience to a very difficult thing that was given. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, where that the Great Commission is there, I like the part said they, so they went. He said go, and a few verses down, so they went. You see, that's obedience to difficulty, not knowing where you're going, not knowing what is there, but looking at it as God's word. He said, "Here I am." And he said, he rose up early, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place that God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there and worship and then return to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and his knife. Ooh. The two of them walked on together. Little Isaac was pretty intelligent. He looked at his father and said, "My father." He said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Here's the fire. Here's the wood. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Verse 8. Abraham said, "My son, God will prepare for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went on together. God will provide. They came to the place that God had told him. So Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood. He bound Isaac his son. Uh-oh. Isaac is saying, "I don't know about this." He laid him on the altar on the wood. Abraham continued in obedience. He stretched out his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven, said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." It's been said that the hardest part of faith is that last half hour. It might be that last 5 minutes, that last 3 minutes, that last 2 minutes. He said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not lay your hands on the boy or do anything to him, because now I know you fear God, seeing you've not withheld your only son from me. Now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your only son from me." Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behind him there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. How many of you experienced something like that? It may not be with a knife in your hand, but it may be that at the end of a very difficult situation, God was right there, right there. I was coming from Houston one day, and I was on Highway 59, and I topped a hill, and as I topped the hill, well, the motor went out. And I think it was back when cars had points and that kind of stuff, not the computers they have today. And I said, "Oh, Lord, what am I going to do?" And I came over the hill, and I looked over, there was a mechanic shop on the right. That was a ram in the thicket to me. And God does that. He brings those special times where he shows us that he is there. He is there. I remember several years ago, I began reading letters from prison, and the Lord blessed me today with some stamps. And to him, that was a ram in the thicket. I mean, that was something that God provided. He is the provider. He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He saw a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Instead of Isaac, well, it became the lamb. It became the ram. Abraham called the name of that place, listen, "The Lord will provide." It is said to this day, Jehovah Jireh. In the mouth of the Lord it will be provided. I understand there's a town in Israel that has that in Hebrew. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you've done this thing and you've not withheld your son, your only son, I will bless you. I will indeed bless you. I will indeed multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand on that seashore. Your descendants will possess the gate of their enemies. Through your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Can you say thank you, Abraham, this morning? That's us. Can you say thank you, God? Yes, that he has been able through that we have been blessed and that we have the gospel that has been given to us as well. To the Jew first and then to the Greek, well, that's us. You say, that's Greek to me. Well, this is who we are today because the gospel proceeded out of Israel to the ends of the earth. We see that we are able to depend upon the Lord. Hebrews 11:13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Those who say such things declare plainly that they are looking for a homeland. And certainly if they had been thinking of the country out of which they came, it might have had the opportunity to return. They're thinking of heaven. Even then, we're thinking of heaven, that a place they could go. You see, we have the faith to get saved by. It's called saving faith. And we have the faith to live by. And that's as we depend upon God's word. And we walk in faith. We walk in hope. And there is a faith to die by. A faith to die by. I think I shared this at Wednesday night. I'm not sure, but it's worth repeating. Carla Faye Tucker was on death row. Charlotte and I got to visit her back in her cell area. She sang for us, and the song that she sang, she was able to say at that certain part the same thing that said that to die would be to go and be with the Lord, but to be on the earth would be fine, whatever you please. And as she was on that gurney in Huntsville, Texas, being executed, here's what she said. She said, I know that Jesus can come and take me off this gurney. But if he doesn't, when I open my eyes, I will see Jesus. And she did. Jerry Gingrich was one of our associate pastors in years past. He was ministering in Alabama as a volunteer chaplain. And this guy on death row said, would you come and be with me right before I'm executed? And so he went to see him. And this was a believer that had after the crime was committed, got gloriously saved. Do you believe God can forgive all sin? And he was redeemed and restored, and yet he still had to pay the consequence. And he visited him, and he said, Jerry, give me a hug. And he gave him a hug, and they opened the door, and he walked away. And he turned around and said, I'll see you on the other side. See, that's faith. That's believing the faith to die by that is there. And I know that with Carla Faye Tucker on that gurney at Huntsville that we were watching it that night, it was like a death in our family because we loved that girl. And we were able to see her lips moving. And they said that she said thank you to the warden. She said, forgive me for what I've done to the victims. And then her lips started moving, singing a praise song, and they stopped moving. And she was in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We are all headed to a place. The father of Corrie ten Boom, who you might have seen The Hiding Place, who was in a concentration camp because of their desire to hide the Jews who were being executed. She was also taken there. And her sister Betty was at the same place, which was miraculous. And Betty got very sick. And Corrie ten Boom was able to go and see her sister Betty as she lay there. And she was concerned about her. And Betty said, well, do you remember that time that we asked our dad about dying? And he sat on the edge of the bed and gently began to ask Corrie a question. Said, when you and I go to Amsterdam, when do I give you your ticket? She sniffed a few times before responding. Said, why? Before we get on the train. Her father then went on, exactly, our wise Father in heaven knows when we're going to need things too. Don't run ahead of him, Corrie. When the time comes that some of us will have to die, you will look into your heart and find the strength you need just in time. That's faith to die by. That's faith to die by. There she was at concentration camp. Edward Mauricio was a brother that got saved in 1978 at the prison unit in Wynn unit. And Tommy was right beside him there. And he began to serve the Lord. He had been everything from a gang member to, he said he went from a Catholic to a New World person to a Buddhist to various programs or things working against the system. He would have been called a jailhouse lawyer. He actually was writing the writ that later became versus Estelle and got some prison reform. But God gloriously saved him, and I was able to visit him there. And Edward never turned away from his faith. I would go. They finally transferred him to a federal unit because he was a Ruiz case defender, and they transferred him to Leavenworth. And I would go visit him in Leavenworth. Those are the longest stairs up that door I've ever seen. I mean, the concrete steps about seemed like 25 or 30 or 40 steps up. How many? 48 steps. Tommy knows. And I would go up there, and I would say, well, Edward, have you heard anything about your case, about a parole? No, I'm just believing God. I just haven't heard a thing. At that time, well, you could get approved by the parole board and the governor could set you off. And I said, well, Edward, I did call the governor's office yesterday and they gave you another year set off. He said, well, praise God. That means I've got more to do right here. You see, that's faith. That's faith. And Edward after he went through our training, we sent him into Mexico, and we have about 20 churches, mostly tribal churches there, and Edward was probably responsible for most of those tribal churches that are there. He went on into Mexico, started a church in Mexico City, and Charlotte and I were able to be there a whole summer of 1989. And Edward, because of his days of drinking, he finally had the problem that causes, you know, from drinking, cancer in his stomach and so on. And he began to not just gain weight, but he's pooched way out, and yet he kept going. Last trip was down to Mexico, and he came back, and Charlotte had something to talk to him about, and she called, and he answered the phone and said, "Well, Charlotte, right now I'm being checked into the hospital." Well, he never left that hospital. But even the day before he died, I would talk to him on the phone, and he'd say, "Brother Joe, I love you. I love Jesus. If this is it, I'm going to go be with the Lord." Faith to die by. Faith to die by. We named one of our residential facilities out there Mauricio Hall in his honor, and he's with the Lord today. That next morning after he died, I went to my organ. Thank you, Shelby, for helping me get that repaired. It runs good now. It's part of my devotion. And I sat down there and I played this song, "Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I see. When I look upon his face, saved by his grace, he'll take me by the hand, lead me through the promised land. Oh, what a day that will be." You see, we don't talk about heaven very much anymore. When I was a little boy, end of World War II, well, they thought that was a tribulation, and they for sure thought they were headed for heaven. So all of our songs were about the coming of the Lord, and it still should be there. But he is coming again. He's coming soon. The Romanian Revolution, those Christians had been under torture. They had been under a dictator. They say they just disappeared. They didn't say that we killed them. They just disappeared. And people like that were there. And yet, in every church I went to, well, there was that scripture on the wall about the coming of the Lord. When that revolution took place in 1989, at the end of 89, beginning of 90, well, this song began to be the theme of the revolution. In Timișoara, Romania, well, they finally had 10,000 people downtown protesting, and they finally said it was a Christian revolution because they had a platform there, and people would come up to pray over the microphone. And all of a sudden, a song that said, "Yel vine ya," began to be the theme song of the whole revolution. That means he's coming soon, he's coming soon. It may be morning, night, or noon. Just we know that he's coming soon. It's a faith to live by. It's a faith to die by. I received a word this morning that Galdina went to be with the Lord. She's a lady at our church in Reynosa. And there was a time when we found she and her husband living in a little, just a little cardboard type place, something like a chicken coop was there, and we set out to build her a house. We raised the money, a team went down, and in 6 days we had the roof on, and we thought that would be such a blessing. They could tear that place down. Well, she and her husband moved in it, and her daughter moved in the shack, probably still there. And then her husband died, we were with him, and today she is at that place. What a day that will be. She is with the Lord. The funeral is at 1 o'clock today. Talked to Pastor Alex this morning. And so we recognize that this is not our home. This is just a place that we're parked for a while. For Christians, for the believer, the home is in heaven. For the unbeliever, it's a home you wouldn't ever want to be at, but you can't do anything about it because there is a reality of hell. Hell was created for the devil, his angels, and for those that reject Christ, those that will not accept the Lord. And that's why that we have to continue preaching, continue reaching out and giving people an opportunity to turn to the Lord. God is merciful, and he will bring them in. There's a song that said, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through," that we are pilgrims on this place. We are not really, oh, we are. We're citizens of the United States, but we're born again. We become citizens of heaven. We are there, and that is our home. We're different. We're strangers. To some people say that they're strange. Well, we should be, because we are following the Lord. We are His children, and He is our God. So we have faith to live by, faith to die by. We have saving faith. Romans 3:23 is called the Roman Road. You need to write these scriptures down, because God's going to lead you to somebody today that you can say, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, which means not just natural death, but eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 10:9-10. Here's your part. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, not just in your mind, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a promise. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means that all can be saved. All have sinned, but all can be saved. 1 John 1:8-9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like the word cleanse. You know, there's two ways to do something. You can just kind of put some water on it, and or you can wipe it down. I had a problem somewhere. My little newer van out there must have gone through some construction, and I thought it was mud. And I went to two places where they have the brushes that wash the car and everything, and I got home and it was still there. Well, I came in and I thought, well, it must just be mud. And Brother James was standing there, and I said, you want to help me a minute? And once he started, he said, oh, this is tar. This is going to take scrubbing. And bless his heart, he scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed. And you see, that's what it means to cleanse, that he will cleanse us. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There will be a total cleansing. We will be purified because of the name of Jesus, because of the cross of Calvary, because of the blood of Jesus. We can be purified. And old things can pass away and all things can become new. Romans 1:16-17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You say, what does it mean that to be the just shall live by faith? It means they don't live by works. You might say, but I've lived a pretty good life. You know, I've helped the poor. I've taken care of my children. I've gone to church. Keith Green said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. You see, it's not by what you do. It's by faith in the work of Jesus on the cross that says that we are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're faced this morning with looking at eternity. Leonard Ravenhill had one word on his desk, eternity. One word on the wall behind his desk, eternity. You see, we have to recognize that. And it's not just at a funeral that we should think about that. It's at a time that we would say that we have got to live a life by faith pleasing to the Lord. This is a poem that my father used to quote, "I shall pass this way but once. Any good, therefore, I can do, or any kindness I can show, let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. I shall pass this way but once. Any good, therefore, I can do, or any kindness I can show, let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again." This is a message that lets us think about our walk with the Lord, or it lets us think about, are we ready for that day? If you have fallen away from the Lord and you want to come back to Him, He's ready. He's waiting. He says, "I will receive you unto myself. I'll bring you back." You might say, "I've backslidden. I've gone away from the Lord. Anna, would you come help me? That I need to come back to the Lord." Or it may be that you've never really, truly given your life to Jesus. Let me tell you about saving faith. You ever had a fear of drowning? You've ever been almost there and all of a sudden heard about a man that finally swam as far as he could. He said, "Well, I can't do another one." And he relaxed, going down, and all of a sudden he was right here. He was that close to drowning. They tell me that when a person is drowning, the life preserver, lifeguards, some of these people have had the training, that they will fight you if you don't handle things right. The very one that's trying to save them, they will fight them. But if you're able to reach down, it's an old song, says, "When he reached down his hand for me, when he reached way down for me," that Jesus reaches down, and as that hand goes up, that last time, he grabs it, and he pulls us out. That's salvation. That's our part. That's our part. Would you stand with me this morning? Join me as I pray this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, we ask you today to increase our faith. Lord, strengthen us that we can see that you are good and you do all things well. Lord, I pray this morning that we would take the message on eternity and that we would respond with eternity in mind. Lord, that we would realize that whatever you've told us to do, even like Abraham, that we need to obey you. Lord, that we need to believe that what you've promised that you will do. Lord, I pray this morning that you would increase our faith and that you would let us rest in your promise, that rest and be confident that you do all things well. Lord, I pray this morning that for those here that may not know for sure that they are ready for heaven, that there would be that desire this morning to come forth and to say, "I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to walk in the way of Jesus. I want Him to be my Lord of my life, my Savior, and be my salvation." Lord, I pray this morning that those that have wandered away from the light and they're walking somewhat in darkness, that your light would shine and that they would come and say, "I do want to follow the Lord. I do want to follow the Lord. I want to depend upon you." With your eyes still closed this morning, if you need to respond to this message in any way, the altars are open. The altars are open. I'll be here to meet you. Our prayer team will be here to meet you if you need someone to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. you say, I would like to go down there, but I don't want to go by myself, just grab somebody beside you and say, let's go pray. Let's go pray. Jesus. Lord, we look to you. We look to heaven this morning. We look to you, oh God. We look to you, oh God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonderful, Lord. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's the action of the Holy Spirit, then there's the reaction to the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you this morning. We praise you, God. Yes, we say, Lord. We say, Lord. Praise God. Some of our prayer team want to come and join these this morning. Don't wait. Don't wait. They say the vice president is one heartbeat away from being president. You may be one heartbeat away from eternity and not know it. Let's say yes, Lord. Yes, my Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Got a song. Thank you, Jesus. Just join with Anna as she sings this morning. Amen. Can't we all sing that?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back.
Hermano Dale y hermano Marcos están aquí para orar con personas en español. Holy Spirit, move among us today, Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes, Lord. To follow Jesus.
It's a decision we make every day.
To follow Jesus.
No turning back. I will follow. No, then go with me. Still I will follow.
Still I will follow.
Hallelujah.
No, go with
determination
me.
To hold out.
Still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back.
We worship you this morning.
No turning back. No turning back. No turning back.
All say hallelujah. The hale means praise. The yah means God. Say it again. Say praise God. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and bless you with a benediction, and then we can fellowship. These can continue to be prayed for. Stretch your hand this way, please. Now may the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Go from this place and tell someone the Roman road. Tell someone there is hope. Tell someone the reason for the hope that's within you. Go and find a need. Meet that need. Find a hurt. Heal that need. We just thank God for our team that's at the Dream Center in Los Angeles today at a conference, and how that they are desiring more and more to be able to find those needs and meet them. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We'll see you Wednesday night. Dinner of Hope at 6. Praise, worship, prayer, hope groups, 7.